inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. Today's rockstar, Michelle McSwain. She is the co-founder and CEO of Pablo. So happy you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And so you always knew that you wanted to be an entrepreneur since you were a kid. Tell me that story.
So I always knew I wanted to kind of have my own company. As a kid, when I was like 7 or 8, I started my first business, which was a little neighborhood newspaper. And it was all around. I was trying to raise money for myself to buy a trampoline because my parents wouldn't buy one for me. So I started this little newspaper and I would sell it door to door. And it was all, you know, like local news happening in the news in the neighborhood. So yeah, that was my first little business. And then
you developed a passion for photography.
I did.
Where did that come from?
You know, I was always interested in the arts and I was pretty creative. My mother's really creative. My uncle was also a photographer. And I had a really amazing photography teacher in high school and really fell in love with it. And started to pursue that in college and just really loved it. And eventually I moved to New York City to attend like a photo internship. And it just went from there.
Yeah. And your career has really just kind of organically grown.
Yes.
Obviously, it's one thing to have the passion and the idea. It's another thing to execute it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Tell me how the idea of photo lighting first came about. And what is it?
Right. So I moved to New York and started doing photography. And I met my co-founder, Ryan. And we started doing a photographic technique called light painting, or long exposure photography. And what that is if you've ever seen a photograph of cars driving by at night and the taillights are blurred.
Totally, yeah.
That's a long exposure photograph, or a light painting is another term.
Yeah, it looks super
cool.
For
it. Yeah, it's super fun. And it's basically just holding the shutter open on a camera, and any light that passes in front of the camera will leave a trail. And the reason you can't see it with your eyes is because our eyes are constantly updating the information that passes in front of it. Mm-hmm. So it really only works if you have a camera that you can do a manual setting on.
Which you had that camera, you loved the style,
yeah,
and then
exactly.
All of a sudden you were starting to do this for other people.
Yes.
Through photo booths.
Exactly.
How did that first job come about?
It was pretty random. So my co-founder Ryan and I, we were, you know, just running around doing this type of photography, posting it on Flickr when Flickr was really big, and started to make a name for ourselves. And then we started being invited to come to, you know, small company holiday parties and set up a little photo booth where we could do our light painting photography, which basically was us drawing around people with lights, writing their name in lights, giving them angel wings. So
cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. And we went on to do that for several years and we traveled globally. We were the first to actually ever create the light painting photo booth. Since then, there's been copycats, but we started this.
Was it all word of mouth that was getting
all word of mouth. Yeah,
around the world?
Yeah, we were doing jobs for Google, Microsoft, PlayStation. We did a 12-day shoot in Saudi Arabia. That's another story.
Wow. Just because it was so unique and innovative,
yeah.
People were finding you and saying,
exactly.
We want you to come to our parties.
Exactly.
And then at some point, there was such a demand where people were like, hey, how can I do this easily on my own? And that's kind of where the app was born, right?
Exactly. So every one of these events that we would do, people were like, I love this. How can I do this? And we used to say, well, you need an expensive professional camera. You need a little photography knowledge, a tripod. And we started realizing, wow, there's a demand for this, but there's not an easy and accessible way. So we created our first and one of the first light painting apps for mobile.
This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Michelle McSwain. She's the CEO and co-founder of Pablo. So you decided there is a demand for photo lighting and creating it very easily and at home.
Yes.
What was one of the first steps and maybe challenges that you faced once you wanted to execute this app?
So Ryan and I, my co-founder, we went ahead and had to outsource and find a developer to help us create this app.
Because both of you were the idea people, the creatives,
exactly.
Knew the techniques. Okay.
Exactly, but we weren't developers. So that was our first and our biggest challenge and roadblock. This was in 2010. We were a little ahead of the technology available to really create what we were trying to make and simulate this light painting photography, but on a mobile device. fortunately, we met Kareem, who's our third co-founder now, over a shared passion and love for light painting. And he is a technologist and an amazing image processor. And he has a shop out in Cairo, Egypt, actually. And we joined forces with him and we became Pablo, our company now.
Yeah. And was that an easy transition or were there some road bumps in the way?
It was, meeting him was kind of like meeting the missing piece. I felt like our team was finally created and
whole.
Yeah, exactly.
So it started to flow easily from there.
Okay. Yeah. So now we were able to all bring our ideas to the table and also have someone there to help us make them a reality.
Yeah. So what's a typical day like now for you?
We use Google Hangouts and Skype a lot. So Kareem is in Cairo.
Oh, he still is.
Yeah. And we have our two full-time developers are also in Cairo. And we talk with them every single day. So it's a lot of back and forth. Starting early in the morning is another thing because we are working on their time schedule a little bit. But yeah.
How many hours a day would you say that you work? That's always not a good sign.
You know, it's running your own business gives you a little flexibility to structure your day.
Yeah, so that's a nice part of it.
Yeah, so I would say the hours I work, they're all over the place. You know, I start super early in the morning. I usually take a break in the afternoon. I take my dog to the park. And then I work late into the evening. So the hours always kind of vary, but it's a lot.
So it sounds like you really need your breaks to stay productive and inspired.
Definitely.
And then I know one of your organizational hacks is to create a deadline. And that's something you really learned when you were working in corporate America. So how has this helped you?
So one of the biggest tips that I feel like I could give anyone is to set a goal for yourself. And this is how we work with our developers and our team, even on the marketing side. We set target goals and we work really hard to try and achieve them. Obviously, there's always going to be things that come up and get in the way. But as long as we are all on the same page and we have a goal in mind, we most of the time achieve it. So I feel like if you are someone wanting to start a business or even just, you know, get a website up, just set a goal. And it's okay if it's arbitrary, like an arbitrary date. Just put it on the calendar and hold yourself accountable to it.
And it's all about those tangible baby steps leading up to that goal, right? So what would you say is your strength and weakness as a CEO?
I would say being able to achieve these goals and hit a deadline is definitely a strength of mine. I feel very confident that I can take an idea and execute on it and get it done. A weakness of mine, I would say, is it's hard to stay organized. It's hard to stay organized with all the people that I'm dealing with.
So how have you become more organized as you've gone on?
I mean, I use some different ways, but I try to do my emailing and in a different way. And we use a platform called Asana, which is like project management. Yeah. And that's been really helpful to remain organized. And I try to not be reactionary, which is something that I think maybe a lot of CEOs and co-founders experience from time to time. You know, when they see something, they just want to react to it right away. So what I've tried to start doing is allow myself at least a day before making big decisions and before sending out big emails that maybe derail us a bit, and just making sure I'm taking everything a little slower and thinking it through.
Yeah, and especially important since you're the leader of your company. How would you describe your leadership style?
Well, I think my team would say I push these guys a lot and I push myself a lot. But like I said, I like to work really hard and stick to a plan and try to achieve goals.
So you push them as in you want to motivate them, you want them to work hard.
Yeah, I would say so.
And how much is creativity a part of what you're doing now?
It's still at the core. I mean, now I have to deal with our QuickBooks and budgeting and things like that.
A lot of analytical things.
Yeah. And, you know, planning, and it's a lot of, deck building and speaking with, investors. So that's definitely been a learning curve and difficult, but creativity is still at the core. Myself and my two co-founders, the three of us still come together and we discuss every single, style and button that goes in the app. And we all make sure we are all on the same page before going through with any of the creative elements. And that's been really fun.
Is it ever hard to all agree?
Yeah. We definitely have had our disagreements for sure. And I think that's with any team.
So how do you resolve it?
We try to look at things strategically and from a user standpoint. It's easy to get in your head when you're creating a product that you're so close to and familiar with to lose sight of how your users are using that product.
Yeah, so we bring it back to that.
Yeah, so we try and just bring it back to that and what makes the most sense.
Awesome. We will be right back with Michelle McSwain. She's the co-founder and CEO of Pablo, and we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rocks. Stars.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month. That can cover a car payment or payback loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. I'm joined by Michelle McSwain. She is the co-founder and CEO of Pablo. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So right away, just tell me, what is Pablo?
So Pablo is an app for your mobile device that gives easy and affordable access to what was once a difficult photographic technique called light painting. So that is kind of our short little pitch.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
So when you had this idea, you wanted to make it accessible for people.
Yes.
Did you create a business plan to package it all nice, or was it more of an evolving process?
This has definitely been evolving since we started the company. We have a really amazing advisor that we meet with every single week, and we have since the beginning of forming our company, and he has helped us really come up with what our business plan is and what our revenue stream is going to look like. And so I would say it's definitely been evolving, and we're pretty excited about.
And that's a really good point, because a lot of times you have this great idea.
Yeah.
And you know it's valuable, but then it's like, how do I monetize it?
Yeah.
I mean, so many of the mainstream social media apps have that issue of how do you monetize it. So tell us what you came up with.
So we kind of wanted to mimic our experience as photographers in the light painting community, which was you start pretty basic. So we launched with Pablo, which we actually are releasing on Android this week, which is very exciting. Since September, we've been on iOS. And we, like I said, wanted to mimic our experience as light painters. So we released a free version of Pablo. And this gives you all the basics that you need to actually be able to create with this type of technique. In early 2017, we will be launching with a pro version. And we're following like a Dropbox model, basically, where there's a freemium and then a premium way. So you will be able to upgrade if you're interested in the technique and unlocking new features. And it will actually be like a subscription-based model.
So in the meantime, you obviously have to fund it yourself. So how did you go about getting funding?
Yeah, so we started with a small friends and family round, and that has been what has been sustaining us so far. And we're right now looking to raise our next round, like a seed round.
Mm-hmm. So I have to ask, a lot of people do go to friends and family for funding. Is it awkward? hard, or does it feel natural? How do you have that conversation with your friends and family?
We were fortunate enough so our third co-founder, Kareem, his father-in-law and their family were fortunate enough to believe in our idea and believe in us. Yeah. So it actually...
just takes the right person.
Yeah, the right person.
That wants to invest in you, believes in your idea. So strategically knowing who to go to, probably, not just a mass email to all friends and family.
Yeah, so we're super grateful to him and that family for believing in us and allowing us this opportunity.
So you said you had an advisor. Yes. How did you find this advisor, and tell me about them?
So he was actually a good friend of our investor, and he's in New York, so it was easy for us to meet with him, and he's been wonderful, and he's started in several companies, and he's been just amazing.
So what are some of the main things that you've learned from him that have been really helpful?
He has really helped us see the bigger picture, and I think that's one of the biggest things that co-founders and CEOs sometimes have a hard time when starting a company is seeing that bigger picture. Maybe off the bat, it's like, oh, you can see this huge picture of what it's going to look like. But once you actually get to the nitty gritty of creating your product, developing it, figuring out how to market it, figuring out how to monetize.
You're just trying to survive sometimes.
Right.
You get to day two.
Right. You really lose sight of the bigger picture. So with meeting with our advisor on a weekly basis, he's been able to help keep us on track and provide us with incredible insight and help.
Awesome. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Michelle McSwain. She is the CEO and co-founder of Pablo. So you have how many employees?
So we're made up of a team of myself and my other two co-founders, and we have two full-time developers.
But you work with a lot of freelancers, right?
With a lot of freelancers, yes.
And that has proven to be very helpful, and specifically using different freelance sites, right?
Yes. Yeah. One of the hardest things I think we've encountered is finding good help. It's really hard to find someone who's just as passionate about your baby as you are.
Yeah.
So we have worked with Upwork and AngelCo, which are websites that have been really great and valuable in finding people with the right expertise and experience, and being able to see other people who have worked with them and their comments.
So for those who don't know, explain what Upwork and AngelCo are and what's the key to finding good talent on those sites.
Yeah, so they're basically platforms that you can go and search other freelance developers, people in social media. I mean,
any industry. Yeah.
And it's similar to like a Yelp, where they have ratings from other people they've worked with or worked for. So you really can kind of see and gauge like, oh, does this person have the right expertise for what I'm looking for? You can even see other people's comments who have worked with them. So it's really...
And the reliability too, because if they've worked with a lot of people and have a lot of stars, that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just starting to create a work culture as you grow your company.
Yes.
Have you learned anything about how to do that the correct way?
It's been difficult for us just because we are spread out. Like half of our team is in Cairo and the other half is in New York. So it's been a little difficult, but we definitely try and celebrate all the little milestones, a lot of Skype. When we had our first launch, we each brought champagne and we did a little Skype celebration, which was really exciting. We also try to do little contests internally with our team just to motivate us and get us using the app all the time. And my whole idea behind that is I want our team using this product as much as possible so we can not only be testing it constantly, but, you know, figure out the interface and what upgrades and changes we can make.
And I would imagine having a big social media presence is huge. What's been your strategy for that?
Yeah, so we actually have just really started focusing on our social outlets. And one thing that we have just kicked off within the last few weeks has been our ambassador program. We've been going around and looking for photographers who are interested in light painting or into the aesthetic that is Pablo, and bringing them on as ambassadors. And we're working with them to create beautiful content that we can share and promote, and they can also share and promote. So that has been like our number one strategy so far with growing our social media.
How do you find these people?
Just through researching on social platforms, like on Instagram.
Just seeing what their natural passion is.
Just
painting.
Yep, searching keywords and linking up with the community. Also, Ryan and I have been in the light painting community for so many years. We knew a lot of people already.
Yeah.
So it's really just trying to connect with them and grow this community.
Yeah. So you get their beautiful content. What do they get? What's their incentive?
We have different programs worked out. Some of it is paid. Sometimes we do where we pay to promote a post and we'll tag them.
So exposure.
Exposure for them. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much to my guest, Michelle McSwain. She's the co-founder and CEO of Pablo, and we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Here is your healthcare update with America's healthcare advocate, Kerry Hall.
Do antioxidants really neutralize cancer-causing free radicals? I'll be right back to give you the answer. Antioxidants do neutralize free radicals and convert them into harmless substances that can be eliminated. The body has a natural supply, but many foods are powerful antioxidants. Foods like oranges, blueberries, strawberries, grapes, spinach, kale, yes, that broccoli, tea, tomatoes, and Brussels sprouts all have natural antioxidants as well as vitamin A, C, E, and beta carotene, coenzyme, Q10, zinc, magnesium, and selenium, which is found in garlic. Well-known medical institutions like Harvard and the University of California, Johns Hopkins, Stanford all say these can make a very big difference and reverse the effects of aging. That's a powerful message, ladies and gentlemen, and the choice is yours. For more information, go to our website, americashealthcareadvocate.com, americashealthcareadvocate.com.
Non-attorney spokesperson, ad sponsored by Open Jar Concepts.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. Eric Shashwa is with us.
Thank you.
The CEO and founder of Zive Inc. So what's the elevator pitch on your product?
We have basically developed, in a nutshell, a technology that allows us to take some of the most used work applications that right now you can only get through the web browser and turn those into full-featured, native, multi-windowed-like applications on the desktop while still keeping them in the cloud.
Now explain
so
it
things
again.
Like, things like Salesforce, things like Gmail, things like LinkedIn. So users, those applications are mammoth. Gmail has 1 billion users. Salesforce runs CRM for the entire world. And the only way that you can use them is as a web page. So you have this really complex application. So we're able to make that work as its own application, but also with multiple windows so you can multitask with it while you're working and integrate it into your operating system.
It makes sense because I wonder why no one's thought of that before.
It's much easier to do to work that way, but it's very difficult to
all
do that well.
All these computer geniuses, we just thought of that now?
So
recently?
It goes against the grain a little bit of thinking you should do everything in the browser. And also, it is hard to do. So we've got some of the best talent in the Valley, and it took us 2 years to develop the technology that lets us do that.
What's on your website? Kiwi for Gmail.
That's
or as
our
I
first
said, Kiwi Forge Mail. No, Kiwi for Gmail.
So Kiwi for Gmail is our first product, and that's growing very, very rapidly with millennials. It's a product that basically takes native Gmail, pure Gmail that people use on the desktop in the browser, takes that out of the browser and turns it into this full-featured native application while still giving you all of Gmail's native features. So no one has ever succeeded in doing that before. We've turned it into its own application, so you click on it and it opens up. You have multiple native Gmail accounts that you can easily switch between. The average Gmail user has more than two accounts. We've turned it into something that for the first time ever, lets Gmail be your default email handler on the computer. So you can click on an email address in the browser and it'll open up in a nice, beautiful little window and you can write in it.
So I have like a Mac.com, I have Gmail, I have O'Brien.com, I have all this stuff, US.com.
Right.
How does that operate under your system?
So all of those can be integrated into a Gmail account that you can then use. So we built this to really optimize Gmail itself. You can use it, it's like when you use Outlook, you can add all these different email accounts. With this, you can add those in, but they work through Gmail and through Gmail's interface with all of its features.
Why'd you come up with this?
Because we saw that we love Gmail, and we also love Apple.
It's easy. Yeah.
Right. And so while we'll take things to Windows as well by the end of the year, we started out on the Mac because we realized that Apple fans are also Google fans. And Google's strategy is to push everyone to do everything in the browser. When you're doing serious work, complex work, it's much easier to do that as an application than it is to do that as a web page where it's mixed in
with
all the browsing stuff you're doing in the browser.
Right. So more things are available. More tools are available.
And it's easier to get to those tools. For instance, so here's an example. If you want to send someone an email, and you're a typical Gmail user, you use Gmail in the browser, you have to do this. You have to click on the browser icon. It takes you several steps. Click on the browser icon, find the right window where Gmail is, find the right tab that Gmail is in that window, click on it, click on Compose, and then you have this really wide window that's taking up your entire screen.
Right.
So with us, you can just press a button, and instantly you'll get a nice little beautiful narrow window that'll show up and you can start sending someone an email. So we've made email in that way as easy as texting. You can instantly get in and out of it just like breathing. And that's something that, those are the sorts of things that make Gmail users find our application very difficult to move away from once they've started using it.
It always amazes me that something we haven't had ever, and we sit around, we watch the little circle go and we pissed off at our computer because it's not fast enough.
Right.
I mean, everything's about faster, 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 right?
Right, exactly.
Why?
I think because it just helps you get your work done more easily. I think that in the 1950s, people dreamed of technology, right? There were all these big computers with flashy buttons. In the 1980s, we had technology and people coveted it. It was any device they could get their hands on. Right. Mm. But in the 2000s, people started to really want something else. They wanted technology to sort of fade away and stop being the thing that gets in the way of them doing what they want to do. And that's why I think when things get faster, it allows you to do what you want to do without the technology being an impediment.
Yeah. For the next thing. Now, you sold a company to do this, right?
Right.
So you did you ever have any funding problems? For the first company, probably, yeah?
I think that anyone who raises funding, sometimes it's going great, sometimes not so much. I want to be honest with this. We did very, very well with raising funding in the last company and this one, too. And it's I think that's really a testament to sweat and willingness to travel.
And explaining it, yeah, right. And explaining it, too. I mean, because, or do you explain it to the right people at that company who will understand it right away?
I think it's, you find people who understand your idea and your company, and those wind up being the ones who invest. And it just takes work to find people.
What's the biggest challenge in raising money?
I think the biggest challenge, honestly, is just the stamina, the ability to keep motivated through from the beginning when you don't quite know yet how to reach people with your idea to continuing to find people all the way through until you close your round.
All right. And how do you do that? I mean, how many times can people say no to you before you say, oh, well, maybe this is not the right thing?
That's the biggest reason why I think companies tend to fail. It's because they give up at that point. I think.
And you don't give up?
No. In the beginning, my first company, when I was doing that for the very first time, it was my co-founders who helped me, and my feeling that I had people who were depending on me for payroll, that if I didn't succeed, you know, they'd have to find
that's
work somewhere
incentive,
else.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's just the memory that I've been through this several times. I know how those rounds go, so I know how to raise.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. Eric Shashawa is our guest, CEO, founder of Zive, Inc. We're talking about creating something that nobody's had before. Do you have any competition in this area?
Our main competition, I think, honestly, is Gmail in the browser. It's the thing that we're replacing and making much better. Otherwise, my main focus on this has always been develop software that's so far above and beyond what everyone else is doing that the serious competition you get is only from like a very small number of large players.
Do you watch Silicon Valley?
I do.
And do you understand it?
I do.
You understand their dilemmas all the time?
Yeah. I think they dramatize it some way. They have fun with it. But
I'm not sure if they do. What about your, will there ever be competition that you'll really be worried about, or they just have to be 10 times smarter than you?
I think a good startup always has to be concerned about that, about the possibility of eventually a competitor will show up. Mm-hmm. That's inevitable. So do I lose sleep over it? No, I am confident in my team.
You should never have sold your sleep app, right? Sleep coach.
Hey, that did well for us though, so.
But you don't lose sleep over that?
No.
Okay. Social media, how important is it to you?
Critical. So for my last company, I really fell in love with the consumer. And I think social media is key. These days, you live or die based on how people respond to you in social media. And it's like managing a mob. They're a mob of like good people, but they could turn on you.
I know well.
Yeah. So one of the top three things that we focus on are keeping our existing users really thrilled with us, customer support, responding to people well there so they're happy, feel taken care of, and social media, making sure people feel listened to.
Let's talk about customer support, because I think that's the biggest bugaboo in any corporation
or
company, is get them on the phone. Like I will say that DirecTV is one of the best, and it's not an ad for them, I guess it is now, is the greatest at customer support. They answer every question and get things done.
Yeah.
How do you deal with doing it that way?
The main thing that I did, honestly, was I looked for someone from a large company that had gone up in a customer support role, and I hired that person. So I hired someone who was high up in customer support for one of the massive gaming companies that's online. Mm-hmm. He was there from zero users all the way up to 300,000 users. So I hired that person in, and he makes sure that we get back to everyone within 24 hours, and that works.
So what I don't want to hear from customer support is, gosh, never heard of that problem. So, I mean, those people have to be so well prepared, right, for anything.
Right. Yeah. So I think that you build your customer support scripts so that you can answer the basic questions quickly. And as questions happen that you haven't heard of before, then you engage the engineers, and then you come back and you add that so that the next time you can answer that question.
In this business, Eric, how do you find and keep great employees? Not good ones, great ones.
I think part of it is giving them a piece of the rock, mm-hmm. making sure that they play a part in the company's success. And if the company has a great success, then they get financially rewarded for that. And the other thing I think is having a team where people work well together and they're passionate about the same things.
Eric Shashua is our guest, CEO, founder of Zive Inc. What do you do about somebody who's not working out for you?
I think that's challenging. I think that you try to get them to understand why they're not working out. You try to connect them with people who can. And you really, my approach is honestly to be very patient with them, because I feel like you can't let someone like that go too quickly.
But this is such a specific business. You pretty much know when you hire them, right?
I think it takes,
maybe.
My experience as a manager is that it takes about 3 or 4 months before you really know.
Before you understand they get the whole process.
Right.
Do you like firing people?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, who does?
Yeah.
No one's answered yes to that. But I mean, you got to have an alternative, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think you work very hard with people. I mean, it's a livelihood, and so you don't want to cut someone off from that, but ultimately, if someone really isn't working out, then I think that you have to understand that they may be better off somewhere else, where they're not going to be stunted potentially in their career.
In your business, Eric, is working at home a good idea, or you just got to have a computer somewhere? Your employees.
Well, it's interesting because my company is a virtual company. Mm-hmm. So this has been happening with startups where you're not all in an office somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that generally for the average person, I would say don't work from home. But in my company, what I've tried to do is focus on hiring people who are responsible and accountable and that can handle that and still be productive.
Who's your favorite superhero?
I would say Captain America.
Why?
Because he's the one.
Iron Man. I was going to put money on Iron Man.
Iron Man's pretty awesome. Captain America has the whole bioengineering thing going on, but he's got the best character, I think, of superheroes.
I love you, man. You're a cool guy.
Thank you.
I don't really love you. Well, actually, I do. Thank you, Eric. We are here to inspire, love, and inform and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. See you next time.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month. That can cover a car payment or payback loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
ESET is a leading cybersecurity company that analyzes online privacy and security threats. And with so many smart devices in the home, it's important that you keep your network and devices secure. Stephen Cobb from ESET explains.
Sometimes it's in the form of, you know, compromising IoT devices, things like web cameras and DVD players and so on, to carry out denial of service attacks. We think people will be looking at the security of home assistants to see if they can be abused. We've seen a number of serious attacks on home routers. They can provide a lot of power to a malicious activity, such as sending spam or stealing information or carrying out denial of service attacks.
Find out more at ESET.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
How do you compete in a competitive space? I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Lawrence Wu. He's the CEO of Wuju. What's up, brother?
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Pleasure to have you on the show. What's your company to do? Tell us about it.
Sure. So Wuju has two lines of hot sauces, an original and extra hot, and we're trying to take the next step in the hot sauce space as far as ingredients in terms of flavor, you know, being less focused on the pepper, more focused on flavor, specifically with an international flavor profile and a sweet side.
Well, we're talking about how to compete in a competitive space. So how are you guys able to not only be profitable, but also grow your business in such a competitive industry?
Sure. So at first, when I was starting off, it was like, you know, what do I want to focus on? And it came down to simplification in such a competitive industry. And for me, it boiled down to the sweet side, you know, niching down to looking at the more mild market, which is the largest segment of the hot sauce space, and focusing on leveraging the sweet side to get that market.
So how do you see yourself being able to grow your business moving forward? Because it's one thing to get to the level that you're at now, but it's a whole nother thing to try to compete with some of the $100 million and $1 billion companies in your space. So how do you plan to do that?
Sure. Well, I guess the first thing is being able to compete on the shelf, right? That's the first step with first interaction that you have with your customers. And my label is very unique. It's a beautiful watercolor label. And then the ingredients, we have 16 ingredients on there, if you include the ingredients of mustard as well. And, you know, being able to diversify and stand out just through something like your packaging, that's a kind of great way to start.
What do you think are some of the mistakes that people typically make when starting a business that has the competition ultimately crush them?
Sure. Well, I think the biggest mistake, at least in my industry, the grocery business, is assuming that once you get a big name like Whole Foods, Albertsons, or Safeway, you're set, like you're golden. Because a lot of these big retailers, not only are you competing with these companies with huge pockets, but you're also required to say, give a free case per store. And when you're dealing with hundreds or thousands of stores to start off with, that's a huge upfront cost. So I would say just niching down as best as you can, getting those customers, whether it be regional or just very specifically.
So what do you think's been some of the key traits that have helped you guys become successful?
Sure. I think for me, it's been about the story. I started off in the pharmaceutical industry. I'm 2 years out of school, spent a year working in pharmaceuticals, and I needed to find a way to build a story behind the brand. And so what I did to prove the concept was I gave out 1,000 free bottles, shipped out from my parents' garage to random people online through a website called Reddit that tons of millennials go to. And I thought, you know, what's the best way to get honest opinion? And obviously, that is a great way to do it. And I got very positive feedback, which led me to Kickstarter, which led me to a food show, and now I'm here.
CEO of Wuju, Lawrence Wu, is joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Lawrence, who are some of your favorite entrepreneurs out in the world that inspire you?
Sure. I think Tim Ferriss is a big one.
Four-hour work week.
Yeah, 4-hour work week, probably one of my favorite books. It was just very real to me, and like leverage all of the great resources we have out there. And my parents work in restaurants, and they work more about hard work and persistence rather than working efficiently sometimes, I would say. So
Old school versus, you know, nowadays with technology and all the little growth hacks that are out there. It's all about working smart. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. It's how we use them that's going to determine our success. So what do you think are some of the things you know that help you work smarter instead of harder?
Sure. I mean, just keeping an open mind. And again, like I said, connecting with people, figuring out, you know, what's the most important, what are the most important mission critical things to think about? And then just kind of searching, doing my own due diligence through something as simple as Google searching, you know, what are the best tools, and user ratings today, so prevalent that it's pretty easy to do.
What are some of the lessons you learned as you started to build out your e-commerce site? Nowadays, there's so much money, so many new businesses, people teaching how to be successful on e-commerce. So what are some things that you've learned about e-commerce that would benefit our audience?
Sure, sure. So I think having enough, having the right plugins for me has been huge. At first I was like, oh, I want to keep this website pretty clean as far as like the functionality and look. But as I grew and had something like, say, a chat feature where it's like, hey, you know, I'm Lawrence from Wuju. If you need any help, like, please talk to me. I mean, it's really helped with conversion. And when you're dealing with small conversion percentages, every little bit counts. So I think that those minor details, those additions to the site, have made a world of a difference for us.
What about the numbers? I feel like when it comes to e-commerce, just as most businesses, but especially online, it all boils back down to the numbers. What's your customer acquisition cost, lifetime value, how much money are you spending, where are you allocating your funds, what are your margins, and so many other numbers that are key. Do you have any systems that you use to keep track of your numbers so that you can track and measure your growth?
For me, I mean, I'm a traditionalist, being a recent grad, I've used a ton of Excel in my internships to be perfectly transparent with you. And
keep it old school, baby. Use that Gmail Excel.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm pretty good with organizing everything there. So
awesome. Well, Lawrence, I appreciate you for coming on the show, brother. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.